How's it going?
Is this going to work properly this time? Or is it going to be weird?
We'll see. It seems to be working so far. And right now, what you're hearing is music.
But it's really?
Slowly tapering down. Yep.
And not now, me. I never taper down. I ramp up.
Music is probably about gone right now at the intro, if I had to say. Exciting intro for this week's podcast.
Hey, what on earth have you been smoking, Bri? I'm imagining you smoke one of those corn cob like pipes like Popeye filled with spinach. Is that right?
Yes, spinach. That's what
yes.
it is.
Mm-hmm. It is. That is what all the cool kids do.
Do you think Popeye wasn't actually smoking spinach? Do you think it was something else?
I think it was all a front. It was actually, he had the herb in the
crack
background.
Eye.
Yeah.
I think Popeye might have been doing some D-ball. You know,
PCPI.
You don't get forearms like that if you're not, doing some hormonal adjustments. You know what I'm saying?
I wouldn't know. I have not done any of these so-called hormonal adjustments yet. Should I?
I don't know. Take a blood test and find out. Maybe you don't need to.
I don't like blood tests. I don't like needles of any sort. I have to look away when that happens. I bet Brian.
Then you're not going to be able to do very many hormonal adjustments.
I bet Brian measures the depth of the needle going in. Are you scientific when you have needles?
No, it doesn't. It doesn't bother me. I don't watch it, but it doesn't bother me.
I'm the same way. I'm fine with it. I just don't want to look at it.
Yeah.
I guess does that mean that we're fine with it then? Maybe we're not fine with it if we can't watch.
Maybe.
It.
I mean, I just know that it's a mental thing, and if I look at it, I'll think, "Oh, this is going to hurt." But if I don't look at it, then I won't even notice it.
Mm-hmm. Unless you get the lobotomist that I had last time, where they're like, "I can't find your vein," and I'm like, "I can see my vein."
I did have that one time, but I have like the most veins that stick out like sore thumbs.
The phyllobotomist. The
I thought you said lobotomist. I was like, no, well, maybe that explains quite a lot.
The last time I had a lobotomist, trying to draw my blood.
They couldn't find the veins in my brain. say that. I don't know.
I wouldn't surprise me. How are we doing this week, chaps? Are we doing well? Anything new on the gear front that you boys have been buying or making or stealing?
You know, weirdly, it's been a little bit quiet over here for that. I got some new monitors in that I've been testing, but I'll reserve judgment on those for now. But I spent a little more time with them.
Okay.
But I'll talk about that maybe after I've done a couple mixes on it and can have
you appear to have a small case of herpes going on there, Blake. Either that or you've been smoking a very hot crack pipe. What's going on?
Yes. Why not both?
Yes, that's
they come hand in hand, actually. So
that's right.
Do you have a cold sore? Is it that time of year that Blake gets cold sores? Or have you been playing too much saxophone?
You mean all year long?
Are you susceptible to them?
Oh,
are
yeah.
Are you the... Okay. Not fun.
Not fun. But I will tell you, something that I thought was nonsense that actually has ended up working fairly well. Usually when I get them, it's like, okay, this will be a fun 2 weeks that I just look like a deranged person. But I read something about red light therapy. Which I thought was just going to be total nonsense, but you know what? Hey, I'm getting desperate. I'll spend the $40 and give this thing a try.
That's like those little plastic masks that you put on with like LEDs.
Well, there's those, but mine's just a little handheld light. You just hold it up to your face or whatever.
I like the idea of a mask or a beard, a clip-on beard light. Brian, are you taking notes? He said red light. That can be an LED. Just a very bright.
It is an LED, I think. Yeah, but it definitely accelerates things. So if you're susceptible to those, like I am, I've noticed that helps.
Well, listeners did not expect to get beauty tips first thing, but beauty tips we have delivered.
That's right.
I had something
you never know.
Beautiful happen to me this week. I didn't. I have no beauty tips because I am a very ugly man. But someone who isn't is Marcus Reeves of Reeves Electro. Who randomly decided, I mean, I knew he was going to send me something because he said, dude, what's your t-shirt size? I was like, And I told him. And
I was like, it is size
7XL. No, I was trying to say something funny. I thought, no, I better not. Anyhow, the other day, a package arrived. I was like, what the hell? It was not just a couple of awesome T-shirts, some lovely artwork from his pedals. I mean, it's fair to just call it pornography, Bri. It's just some high-quality, glossy, not glossy, satin prints of the gut shots of some of his beautiful pedals.
Nice.
It's done nothing positive for my gas, but he also sent me a pack of his coffee and a handwritten note from signed from his and his daughter, because his daughter has started working with him, Izzy. Big shout out to Izzy, because I think that is awesome. I think more young people in this industry, plus 1 point, more females in this industry, plus 2 points, and more females that you don't have to pay minimum wage to because they're related, plus 10 points, right?
I don't know. I decided not to work with him anymore. It is too difficult. It's too difficult.
Yeah, I'm...
Good way to ruin a marriage.
Well, it depends who you work with in your family. Anna does work with me.
Good way to hate your kids, too.
More parenting tips next week.
I don't want to work for 14 hours without a break.
Too bad. Too bad.
Get back to soldering.
Get to soldering.
Dad, is this lead-free?
Absolutely not. Inhale it.
The lead-free sucks. Just keep going.
That's right.
No,
that's
so
why Brian's
but I first... feel lightheaded. Stop being a wimp.
You don't need a head to solder. You just need hands. Keep going.
I'm going to interject myself here. One of the greatest Facebook groups I've joined recently is, I think it's called I Take Photos of Electronic Components. And it's just people taking photos of any electronic components they find. So it'll be anything from the battery from an X-ray machine all the way to a couple of guitar pedals or the inside of a Sony DVD player.
Is it on Instagram?
It's on Facebook, Bri. You know where all the cool kids hang out.
I'm not getting on Facebook about that.
No, there's some good stuff on there, Bri. There is definitely some more pedal-related pornography. But yes, thank you very much, Mr. Reeves. I desperately need to buy one of his pedals, Bri, but I don't like actually... And this is definitely not me plugging for a free one, Marcus, but I don't like paying money for pedals. I like talking to Brian until he's forced to send them to me for nothing.
Is that how that works?
I mean, that's one way to do it.
I pin him down verbally. Like, I'm like, come on, Brian. You said you would. Go on, Brian. Come on. Now you can do it. Right now. Send me one. Send me two. So yes,
never mind. I was gonna open an old wound, but I won't do that. I'll just leave that right there. Never mind. It's fine.
Don't open up any old wounds. So
now
anyhow,
you've already entered the conversation. Now you got to go.
I can't. I mean,
is it a wound that would hurt me or would it hurt Brian?
You, Richard.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? In the interest of comedy, I don't care. You can open up as many old wounds as you want.
I was gonna say, like, if you watched Back to the Future. Lately, have you?
I have not seen Back to the Future for approximately 20 of your Earth years.
Okay, but you're familiar with the concept and maybe the title character's last name.
How dare you? How very dare you?
Is it Keaton? Is it Alex Keaton?
Yeah, that's it. We'll go with that.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's it. Mm-hmm.
No, and on that note... I have had some of my pedals replaced by HQ because I like to hold of, you know, one of every pedal we do, especially the ones that I've designed. And we're out of stock on a couple of the ones I've designed. And I am not happy about not having them. There was a point where I considered what would happen if I went into a shop and bought one of my own pedals just because I liked the picture I put on it. I thought, I'm just going to print it out. I'm going to print it out and put it on a piece of card and stick it on all Brian's new pedals. That'll do. You have opened up an old wound, though. Oh, it is now seeping. I'm sorry.
I was going to not, and then Brian made me, and then you said go ahead. And
Story of my life.
I decided to do it as inside humor as possible, even though
it was pretty good.
Listeners of the podcast could definitely figure that out.
Speaking of inside humor, what takes 300 milliamps worth of power and has made the internet lose its absolute poop this week?
I will take tuners from Walrus for $300.
I mean, there's been many a conversation with you and I, Bri, where we've gone, we want to make a tuner, but it has to have some value add. I think Walrus just went, let's just put a big old LED screen on it so people can put memes on it all day long. And I don't hate that idea.
I love it. I love that idea. I get why it's dumb, and I get why it's impractical, and I get why it's unnecessary. Also, I would have it, and I would put the most idiotic things on the screen constantly, just because I would find it entertaining.
Yeah, and that's where you and I differ, Blake. Because I like the idea of it. Like, don't get me wrong, I think it's very cool. My favorite has been Hide the Pain Harold. Him on a pedal would do it for me big time. But honestly, I would never buy that tuner in a million years. A, because I've got a tuner, and B, because I'm not seven and don't want to put stickers on everything, which this is the digital equivalent of, right? But there is still a seven-year-old in me.
Stickers willy-nilly.
You stay away from my willy-nilly, but I'm telling you, there is a seven-year-old in me that goes, but you could change it every day, and you could change it like in different comedic situations. But I just don't have time for that as a 48-year-old man. My inner seven-year-old has to be beaten like the proverbial child that he is.
So I'm a bit dumb on this. So you can load images or you can load anything on it?
I don't think you can play Tetris on it, Brian, if that's what you're asking.
No, I was thinking, like, what if you could load song lyrics on it?
That was one of the first criticisms. Yeah, people are like, make it scroll song lyrics.
That's dumb, though. You're going to really be staring all the way down at the pedal board to get your song lyrics? Most people can't even see down that far, especially old aging rock people.
What about set list?
Again, Bri, I think you need to ask yourself what you, at your age, can see from... I don't know how tall you are, so let's just say 6'4".
Well, I mean, you could change the font, though, right?
You could. What font would you choose, Bri? Would you choose one that was like, you know, nice and easy?
The font size. I guess what I'm saying is, if you could just have it where when you click the button, it forwards to the next song. You know, you're like,
you can only see one image.
I mean, we have Lynyrd Skynyrd coming up next.
Right. The problem is you can only have one image on it. So you could have the letter A as big as you want, but that's all you could have. What would be very cool is if you could like skin the tuner so that like when it hit the perfect, 440 hertz tuning, I don't know, a picture
said,
of...
hell yeah, bub!
Yeah, right? A picture of Weird Al Yankovic came up or whatever. I don't know. You pick. Hell yeah, Bob.
That's in tune, brother.
There you go.
Also, Marcus sent me his own signature blend coffee, which I'm going to keep for Christmas. That stuff's brilliant. I'm just going to let you know. That's Brian, why aren't we making our own coffee?
Because I don't have a coffee roaster near me that would probably do it.
Yeah, let's just OEM some. It's fine.
You know what? I'll just start.
Pedal companies do it all the time.
I mean, allegedly. Goat poop looks like coffee beans. Nobody will ever know.
The most expensive coffee in the world is from poop, from what
yes,
I understand.
Civet ingested and excreted coffee beans. Bri, I think we're onto something. Goat coffee.
Right?
Goat coffee. Wampler goat coffee.
What kind of milk are you having with that, cow? oat. Do you milk your goats?
No. I think you've asked me this before, but no.
Okay. Not that kind of goat. I mean, I don't remember any goat-related questions.
They're dogs with horns. Horny dogs.
I had one of those, but he had a lipstick, not horns. Anyhow. So... What? What do we make of the amount of coverage that this tuna has got? Do we think...
I mean,
is anyone here going to buy one, firstly?
Obviously, there's a lot of gear groups and forums that don't have enough to bitch about.
We can fix that, like, Brian. Allow me to supply you with some complaint material.
Right. I've got an idea. Let me come out with a pedal that everybody will do nothing but hate on.
I'll put it to you this way.
I don't know. I think it's cool.
I need a tuner. Right, my pitch black is on the fritz. I've had it for a long time. I love that tuner. Very simple. Works well until you stomped on it for 15 years and then it doesn't work that well anymore. I haven't price checked this thing, but if it's comparatively priced, I would why not have one that's a little more fun if it's in the same ballpark? That's the way I look at it.
A lot of people complain about the milliamp draw of it.
Yeah, I kind of get, but like, I don't know. I got power supplies that can handle it. I'm not too worried about it.
I mean, if you're already running 800 pedals off your single one spot, which is feasible if they all were 2 milliamps or under.
Sure.
Then I can understand that. But
let me just do that math. Let's see. 2,000 milliamps divided by 800.
1,700 milliamps is what?
2.5.
Okay. Well, close enough, Bri. I think that's what we call Martinsville maths.
No, that's when you're weighing out the different crystals and see around and, you know, balance it out. Never mind. That's a different. That's Coyote's math.
Anyways, what was your question originally? What do I think about this?
My question
would
is,
buy one?
Who's buying one?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm not going to buy one, but I would. I mean, as long as it does the strobe thing, I'm good.
And which it does.
As long as it's accurate and quick, I'm good.
Right.
And I use the Sonic Research personally. Like, that's what I use on my board all the time. I've got some TCs. I've got some Boss tuners. They all, those go on the show boards because they're dead, you know, they're stupid easy.
Mm-hmm.
You can't mess it up. Where a strobe tuner, you can get a little confused if you're not familiar with it. But I like accuracy, so strobe tuning for me.
I am aware that no matter how accurate my tuner is, I'm going to be up to 0.14 of a cent out of true temperament tuning anyway. Or no, I'm in. Oh, I forget.
True.
See, I practice that though. Like, I'll bend and practice bending in key while looking at a tuner.
So I was actually literally, it's almost as if you're in my head, Bri, because...
Nerd alert!
So I did exactly that. Normally, I tune up before I play every time, okay? Right? Because yeah. That G string, that's flown out of tune on most guitars. So I tune up, but then I turn my tuner off because I don't like to see the notes as I'm playing them. Until the other day I thought, maybe I do like to see the notes. Maybe... It's been so long since I looked at how well I'm doing a bend, essentially, a two semitone or whatever. Why don't I do that? And it was interesting. I was a little bit off. My ear needed a little bit of retraining. I found that I was actually pretty much overbending nearly everything, just a fraction, but it was enough to go... I like this new world of having a tuner on all the time.
I mean, it's a common problem with people that play is just not bending in tune. If you're doing session work, like that's a time killer. You've got to bend in tune.
Yeah, I wasn't far off. I certainly wasn't bending like ridiculously out, but it was enough to make me go, I like this tool. And I think... you should get a new tuner, Blake, and it should be the Walrus Audio one.
I mean, if they make some sort of way for me to Bluetooth a set list to it, I would use that.
Maybe we'll steal their idea, Bri. We'll do that.
That's a good idea. You know what? Instead of having a single wide pedal, I'm going to make it a triple wide pedal. That way,
now you can scroll through. Yeah,
right.
No, Bri, you're thinking about this the wrong way.
I could actually put a little keyboard on it, like the old school phones. You know, like a little textile.
Yeah. What you've invented there, Bri, is a laptop. Okay, with foot switches. However,
Yes, but there's a foot-based laptop. Maybe if we can tap it in just the right order, it can dial into Uber Eats for us. we can get some sandwiches delivered for after the gig. You know?
Is there an Uber of alcohol? Like an Uber? I know there's an Uber of marijuana in California.
What?
There's booze delivery services. I mean, DoorDash will do it.
Really? Okay, so there you go. See, so as long as it has like a button to click for DoorDash to bring a beer to the gig, you know? Because you know at the gig, like if it's any kind of bars I play, they're like, oh, we got all kinds of beer, bub. We got Michelob Ultra. We got Bud Light. We got Miller Light. And you're like, no, I mean like real beer.
Hold on. We got Miller Genuine Draft.
Right. It's like, I don't even drink beer at gigs anymore because our beer always sucks. But, you know, if I could get a good beer from like a local brewery, mm-hmm. delivered.
I have to say, I'm in a bit of an alcohol phase right now. That doesn't mean I've become an alcoholic because I just don't have time to be an alcoholic.
Well, if you try hard enough, you'll get there.
Yeah, well, I need more time.
Put in the effort and need time.
Right. 10,000 hours.
But I am enjoying. Right.
Anything worth doing is worth overdoing.
It's a good point. Yeah. Well, maybe I should try harder at being an alcoholic. But a crisp lager, a nice, deep, malty stout, a smoky single malt whiskey. And as it's Christmas, why not have some alcoholic cream? Do you have Baileys over there as a Christmas drink?
I got to stay away from that stuff, though.
We do one bottle every year at Christmas between our family.
I gotta be careful with it because it's too easy to drink the whole thing.
It's great in coffee,
it's too sweet for me. I can't.
Well, so you gotta mix it with stuff like, you know,
whiskey.
You gotta put it in shakes. You gotta put it in your coffee.
Like, I don't. Yeah. No.
Yeah, that's the rules. That's the rules, Blake. I don't make the rules.
I don't play by those rules.
I'll tell you who else doesn't play by those rules. And that is the surviving members of the Beatles and their video company. Did you guys watch the new Beatles video?
No.
Have you even heard the new Beatles song, Bri?
I'm aware of it, but I have not actually listened to it, no. Because I don't give an F.
You know, I mean, funny enough, Brian and I are actually... on the same
you're aligned
page
on this issue, are you?
I actually like the Beatles, but I like heard about them, and I was like,
I like the old Beatles stuff, but
I don't care. Yeah, I don't care. I'll get there. I'll get there eventually.
We can't not talk about it. What is depressing, though, is in the last 2 or 3 weeks, the biggest stories in music have been about the Beatles and the Rolling Stones. And I'm like, I mean, if that isn't evidence that we are screwed culturally, then... buy me a Cannibal Corpse record and send me off. Because really, it's this music is 60 years old now, you know?
Yeah. I mean, can you imagine listening to 60, and you were in the 80s, let's say, or the 90s or whatever.
Can you imagine listening to Alexander's Ragtime Band?
Right, exactly.
Come on, I think we've had this conversation and I made the exact same diversion, but listeners may not have heard it. I will say this. You ever listen to Django Reinhardt, Bri? Gypsy jazz virtuoso of the 1920s. Famously only had half a hand's worth of fingers, but could do more with that than any guitarist of his era. And I'm telling you, immediately just go listen to Limehouse. I think it's Limehouse Blues.
I mean, the Limehouse Blues song I'm familiar with. But like, actually, his work, no. I don't recall. But I wouldn't be against it. I guess my whole thing is like, when we were in high school in the 90s.
But that's an exception,
whatever,
for sure, yeah.
We wouldn't, like, no one would have ever went to the bar and said, put on some Ragtime for me.
Right.
And,
like, that would, the reality
no
is...
no one would have done that.
Even my grandparents wouldn't go back to the 40s music, you know, and they were born in the 20s, and in the 80s, they wouldn't be like, let's listen to something from the 1940s. They were listening to the Beatles onwards, you know. My nan loved Elvis. So we just had
some Sinatra or something every now and then.
But Elvis and Roy Orbison, you know, and it's so cool that we get Roy Orbison's son follows us. And like, I think we've probably supplied him with pedals at some point.
I think so.
If not, then he should reach out to us. But it's just awesome to know that. Because like I say, my grandmother absolutely loved Roy Orbison. But anyway, you're right. Who would have listened in the 80s to music from that logo? But yeah, the two biggest subjects in music this month have been the Rolling Stones and the Beatles. So we've done the Rolling Stones.
I haven't even heard the Rolling Stones news. What happened? Who died?
No one died. You can't get your 2 million post yet. But they released a new album, didn't they? And they've got famous people on it. I think American singer Madame Gaga appears on one of them. I don't know.
Madame Gaga.
That's how you say it, isn't it?
Let's type this into the Google real quick. Hang
on. Madame.
So, here's the thing with the Beatles song. Mm-hmm. The first version I heard, it sounded really bad. Like the chorus, it sounds like it's going through our wet algorithm on the metaverse, which is a very modulated delay. And it, you know, you've got this weird warbling going on. But then one of our Tone Group members, Jeffrey Noh, said, actually, that might just be Paul McCartney's vibrato harmony. I'm like, really? Okay. And then I saw a higher quality video of it, the actual official video, and he was 100% spot on. It was just the compression on the first version I heard was terrible. So the second version I heard was better. It wasn't as compressed and the modulation wasn't as bad. The guitar in it is non-existent because, as my guitar teacher, John, pointed out, it's essentially John Lennon's, like, he's strumming exactly four to the floor because he's just tracking the song. He's just writing a song, so he's just playing the chords, and that's what they've used. It doesn't work, and the video, though, is somebody needs to lay off the magic mushrooms and the TikTok, because it was awful. They got, they had like the two older guys, Ringo and Paul, singing along with like computer graphics of George and John from the 60s, but their heads moved in what I can only describe as a cartoonish bobble-headed way. Their arms kind of flailed around like characters in Rick and Morty. There was something not quite right about any of it. And the whole thing, whilst I appreciate the spirit and it was a lovely kind of touch of the heartstrings, the whole thing came off looking like some student's acid fantasy. So honestly, guys, if you hate the Beatles, that's probably the best reason to watch the video. It is like someone's acid fantasy, but you should definitely both watch it.
I don't hate the Beatles. I like the Beatles.
Yeah, I don't hate them at all. I think the songwriting is something.
You're Americans. You can't understand the Beatles.
What? What do you mean?
Were they the greatest pop group of all time?
I can understand them, and they do talk funny, but I can understand them.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically English, you know, but yeah, we can get through it.
Okay, all right. No, I recommend watching the video. If you say so.
Two what were you nations. Asking, Richard? You asked a question that Brian and I were too busy making fun of British people over. What'd you say?
No, I just said you've got to go and watch the video. Really?
I thought you asked a question. Never mind.
Well, the question was, have you seen the Beatles video? And the answer is no. Well, only you have, Richard.
No, you said something about like, are they the greatest? And we went, are they British people?
Are they the greatest pop group of all time?
Yes.
Negatory.
What?
Negative.
Who's a better pop Brian. Group?
Who's a better pop group? And from England,
Brian's
going to
say
New
Kids on the Block, aren't you, Brian? It's got to be New Kids on the Block.
You're taking my jokes away from me, man.
I thought you were going to say Backstreet Boys for a second.
Well, I mean, they're head to head. You know, they're like fighting for that top spot.
But, okay, yeah. Fair enough.
You know.
Backstreet's back. All right.
My wife does a dance class, and that's one of the songs they do in the dance class at the moment.
Really?
Yeah.
You guys listen to that kind of pop over there?
No, she's in a dance class, Bri. It's danceable. I mean, we are familiar with music of the Americas.
That song was custom made for dance classes, I feel like.
It really was.
I just figured like in England, like you'd have your own type of pop music that would you know, have your type of English.
And now we'll dance to Penny Lane by the Beatles.
I say, oh chap.
Chaps, back streets, back tea time.
I mean, that would be an improvement, if you ask me. If they all stopped, sipped from a China cup of tea and ate a scone, that would be an improvement over whatever the video for that song is. Okay, and speaking of films, I saw possibly the longest film in the cinema that I've ever seen. But, Bri, I think this is one you could dig too. Killers of the Flower Moon, the new Martin Scorsese film. I haven't seen it
yet. I've been waiting for this movie for years. We got Sturgill Simpson in this
really
movie.
Good, Brian.
We got Jason Isbell in this movie. Like, I'm ready for it.
Jason Isbell's in the movie, is he?
Yeah, and Sturgill. Brian, that's not perking your ears up at all?
No. I mean, I like both those guys, but never heard of the movie and no desire to see it unless it's funny.
You know of a Martin Scorsese?
I know that name.
Well, I never.
You probably do.
Martin, taste what? S-C-O-R-S-E-S, right?
Something like that.
Oh, yeah.
Can I just say, Jason Isbell can act, by the way, because...
Yeah, he's a great actor, isn't he?
As can Sturgill Simpson, but definitely, I am surprised. I mean, I wouldn't have recognized Jason Isbell, full stop. Yeah, like I know who he is. I'm familiar with the fact that he's one of our artists and we've given him gear. And I have listened to the music of the man, but I wouldn't have been able to point him out in a crowd. In the same way that if I was to put Dave Gilmore, Roger Waters, Nick Mason in a crowd, Brian wouldn't recognize any of them. Who are these three old dudes?
Depends if they're wearing football jerseys with their names on the back. Yeah.
Dude, it's one of the greatest films of the last, of the 2020s, I would say. Have no doubt about it. It's fantastic. It is nearly 3.5 hours long. I think maybe even slightly over that. But this man's 48-year-old bladder made it through, so yours can.
I don't usually have a problem with long movies, to be honest. I don't mind an excuse to turn my phone off and be uncontactable for 4 hours. That sounds wonderful.
Well, actually, Bri, do you remember when you were having the Wi-Fi issues and you couldn't get hold of me for ages? And then you were talking to me, I'm like, I'm in the car, dude. And then you said a slightly rude comment and my wife answered it. That was on the way home from the cinema. that was a fun time.
I was polite with my rudeness, though.
No, vulgarity. No. It was very amusing. And I actually think the two of you were very, very good comedy partners. I enjoyed it as a as a passenger driver. No, really good film. Anyway,
I still really badly want to do the... I think I can talk Lynn into it, I'm pretty sure. But I don't know if you guys can talk your wives into doing a... Chasing Tone Wives Edition episode, where they just come in, instead of us three, we just swap ourselves out and they can talk about how stupid we are for an hour.
But that's all it will be for an hour. Like, does your husband, like, sit there, look at his phone, grin, and then when I go, who's he talking to? Oh, it's just Brian and Blake. Is that what happens all the time? Because that's what happens at my house. Like, do you hear, like, an hour
of stupidity?
Do you ever just
talk to your husband? Hey, do you ever just talk to your husband while they're staring at their phone and laughing? And then you wait for a response and they say, huh? Yeah.
Or then they show you the thing they're laughing at and you think, that's not funny.
Right.
At all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It'd be a fun episode. We should try to get that together. If your guys' ladies will do it, I about guarantee I can talk Lynn into it. So just throwing it out there.
I'm not sure.
Do we want to put all three of them in the same room?
I think
they won't be. They'll be separated the same way we are.
At the very least, right?
We may need to monitor the situation and close the whole thing down just in case.
We're not obligated to publish it if we don't like it.
Yeah. I will be making many of those neck finger slicing across motions that I just made. That will happen.
Or you're just sitting beside her, Brian, and just every 30 seconds just hitting mark clip. Mark Click.
Yeah. Right. We'll be like, hey, girls, so here's what we do. All right, after every sentence, you have to clap. You just have to clap for us, okay? Just so we know where we are, all right? Every sentence. No, every third word. Maybe we do that around the special anniversary we've got coming up. Who knows? I have some other ideas for that. Let's talk about some gear, though, other than the tuner. This cannot be an episode just about a tuner.
Tuner episode.
I mean, Richard basically filled out he usually does put in most of the topics, to be honest. Yep. But this time I was like, I have some things to add to this topic list this week, so Richard doesn't have to do the whole thing. And I opened the document, proceeded to do that, and realized that Richard had already added everything that I was going to add. So yet again, he is the episode champion. But I do want to talk about something that I can't believe is coming out of my mouth, but I kind of want Bruno Mars Stratocaster.
You know, here's the thing. When I think about signature guitar artists and I think, what guitar player do I really want to aspire to be? Is it Eddie Van Halen? Is it Dave Gilmour? Is it Jimi Hendrix? No, it's Bruno Mars.
Mars is sick. What are you talking about?
If only there was a Bruno Mars signature guitar. I'm not the biggest aficionado of the work of Mr. Mars and Co., but I'm sure he's a fine musician. The Strat looks sick, though, guys.
It does. It looks really good. And I'm a sucker for the big headstock. He went for the big headstock, which isn't too surprising because his whole aesthetic is very 70s, and that is a very 70s thing to do on the Stratocaster. So it all lines up in pencils. I just personally want to let you know
your audio
me.
Crapped out a bit there, Blake, and all the listeners heard was, I'm a sucker for big head. That's all anyone's heard. Just got to warn you. That sounds like that's a boast.
Take what you can get. anyway.
I love a big head stock too.
Yeah, and the only change I would have made if it was the Blake Weiland Stratocaster, I'm a Rosewood fretboard guy, but I understand that, you know, people have their preferences and that's okay. But otherwise, I absolutely love it. I love the color. I think it's, and I genuinely like Bruno Mars as an artist. I think
I make light of him because he's clearly not the first person you think of when you think about, I mean, who's a guitarist. But what they have done really nicely is it comes with a white or a tortoiseshell pickguard. Now, Fender should do that more with high-end Strats because that is one of the simplest mods to make, and it gives you that feeling of, I've picked the personalization. I think we should do that with our pedals, actually, Bri. We should send our pedals out, but without the foot switches attached and with, like, a number of parts, like a Lego kit.
What are you chewing on over there, Richard? What is that in your mouth? What are you doing?
Yeah, sorry, that's my tying rope. I use it to practice knots.
I don't want to hear anymore. I don't want to know anything else.
We all have a rope that we practice knots with.
Yeah, I don't
want to
know.
I mean, you can mock me, but the other day, a rubber band snapped, and I tied a bowline knot in it, and I made a new rubber band out of a snap.
Again, I don't want to know anymore, Richard. I don't want to hear
clove
why.
Hitch there. So perfect clove hitch. Simple. Simple knottery.
What else do you tie up?
Mainly sex slaves, Bri. Sex slaves and bovine creatures. And ovines.
Are they one and the same for you?
Brian, look, not everywhere is like Martinsville.
Sorry. It's just how we roll here.
Yeah.
Does remind me of a joke that I might tell on Patreon, but I'm not telling it here. It's a great looking Strat, right? Moving to another guitar story, though.
And that's how you know Fender didn't pay for that placement.
Yeah.
Or maybe they did. Okay, guys, we want you to be real vulgar in this ad.
Yeah, say something really gross and inappropriate at the end of this segment.
You make it about sex with animals or something.
Did I say anything gross or inappropriate about Marcus Reeves and his fine work? No, I did not. Why?
No, why? Because Marcus Penis?
No, but he's a gentleman and he sent me a load of goodies. If Fender were to perhaps...
You just talked about that.
Yeah.
Yes. If Fender were to step up to the plate and send us all a load of goodies, then maybe we would stop associating them with bestiality. I'm just saying, you know, there is a chance.
This sounds more like a ransom note than a request for sponsorship.
This seems more like blackmail.
Yeah. This is how you're going to approach all the new sponsors. Listen, either pay us money or we're going to say vulgar things about...
Speaking of walrus's tuner and goat sex.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, I've lost you both.
Just kidding.
Oh, I lost you both there for a second. I thought my internet had died.
Well, Richard's
it went down this time.
It is not doing well at all.
I was gonna say, that's not just on my end, is it? I can talk to you, Brian.
Wow, this is awkward for the listeners. For
sure. Sure is. Well, that's a really bad segue out of what we were just talking about, too.
Yeah.
I think the UK government just abducted Richard. They're like, we do not allow that kind of speech in our country. And zoop, now they just zapped him out. Is that what happened?
Yeah, he said he'll be back here in just a few seconds. He lost his internet. So apparently, I don't know how the internet works over there. Maybe it's every so often, it's like a blackout phase, maybe? Like, too much data from you.
Too much data. Too much data. By royal decree, we are cutting off your interwebs. Oh, and now we're just ourselves.
I told him to log out and log back in.
Oh, good move. Okay.
So, just because that seems to work better. Because now your picture is crystal clear, like 4K clear.
Amazing. You're a little grainy.
This is my iMac camera that you're looking at me on. This is fantastic audio, by the way.
Oh, they love this. Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This is my iMac camera, and I think it is semi-stupid because it doesn't work very well.
You know, for as much as we pay for a Macintosh, right, or Mac products, you know, the phone cameras are phenomenal. Why did all the laptop cameras...
I've asked the same thing.
Horrible.
You have a bigger package to put a better camera in, yet you do the opposite.
Yes.
You make the camera worse. Like, in the biggest computer that you make.
Like, way worse. Hey, there he is.
Speaking of way worse.
Speaking of way worse, Richard's back.
We were just complaining about how Apple decides to put the absolute worst camera in their biggest computer.
Biggest and most expensive.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It is absolutely crazy. But that's Apple. I don't know what we were talking about before it all...
We were at a good point to segue into something new.
We were at
a
good point to get away from what we were talking about.
Yeah,
good,
exactly.
Fine. Did you guys see the picture Steve Vai posted of his guitar snapping?
Oh, no, no. Yeah, tell me about this.
His headstock snapped in transit, and his tech patched it up. And it was one of those where it was like, it is now stronger than the original. And within 24 hours. And I'm thinking... That's got to be a lot of tight bond to get you like that. But Brian, you know a little bit about building. Is that the case? Is glue stronger than wood?
I don't know that kind of stuff, man.
Sometimes, I don't know what this guy did, but I do know that sometimes some techs and luthiers will actually put carbon fiber rods in when there's headstock breaks like that, and they indeed can come back stronger than they were before. So I don't know if that's what happened here. But I've seen people do that in the past. So
that's a good point. Yeah, carbon fiber rods. I shall think about that.
It makes you think maybe they should all have carbon fiber rods before they break.
I suspect that might put the price of your Fender Strat up by about $3,000 US. Or any other guitar, but I'm ragging on Fender tonight, so why not, continue?
Why are you ragging on Fender tonight? What did Fender do to you?
Not send me a guitar?
Oh, well, that's fair enough. Rag away, then. Keep going. Mm-hmm.
I have no idea how long we've been recording for now, because my recording says
44 minutes and 28, 29, 30, well, 31.
I got a couple of things that I'm going to talk about very briefly that deserve a bit of main show attention. Firstly, Bri, it's time to get the DIY on. Look what I've purchased. I'm holding up my new mini breadboard soldering board things.
Why? Wait, so you bought a little PCB.
Yes.
That is set up like a breadboard.
Correct.
With the idea being that you're going to make something on that PCB. Right?
That is the general principle of my operation.
Is this going to be a original circuit then?
I think the first thing I'm going to do is see if I can fit the little JFET-based circuit on there, but try and add two more controls to it. And that's still the bit that I'm struggling with. I know you showed me how to create a... I've now remembered the other subject I need to talk about. And I shall add that in here. Yeah, I need you to help me with the how to add more knobs. Brian, I'm struggling with the number of knobs.
I'd like to announce my consulting services today. Mm-hmm. Available at guitarpedalcourse.com. Just in case.
We have a whole chapter over here on how to add knobs. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whilst I was browsing, what was that? Guitarpedalcourse.com, did you say, Bri?
Guitarpedalcourse.com, yes.
I couldn't quite tell.
A new video.
You have a new video?
A new course will be coming out here within a week or two, yes.
That's exciting.
2.5 hours on just gain-based devices.
Two and a half hours on gain-based? Well,
that's going to segue.
That's not enough hours. We need 5 hours strictly on gain-based devices.
That's going to segue very nicely.
I started
at
about 7. I had to whittle it down. So anyway,
I want the director's chat. Yeah, no, well, whilst I was browsing guitarpedalcourses.com, in the other window I had styleupyourpet.com, and in the other window I had womplapedals.com. But, you know, I merely mentioned that in passing. One of the things that I was thinking about was that thread on the internet that you answered where a guy said, I've got a gain pedal and I'd like to add more gain to it. Now, of course... Being the English king.
He wanted to lower the gain, I think.
I think he wanted to add more gain, didn't he?
I thought he said lower.
Well, this is a crucial point that we
need because
to
I told him the mod to lower it, so...
Well, either way, I think the, you know, again, as the English king of fuzz, I felt qualified to answer, but maybe I should have put my glasses on in order to read the question properly, but you
Brian.
Know... The royal glasses weren't ready.
He said it.
Oh, wait. Hold on. I got to find it again.
How? I mean, do I have to, like, hold up a flag to show him or something?
He wasn't looking at the screen, so I don't know what good that would have done.
Oh, there it is.
Thank you, loyal subject.
The British King of Fuzz. Bow down, mortals, and kiss the ring.
I think kiss the ring is in danger of becoming my catchphrase. I was looking at that going, you know, I mean, there's a number of ways you could do it. And I saw the ways that you suggested. I was like, yeah, I mean, that's kind of okay. No, I mean, that was exactly what I was thinking. But that's a really good subject. I think the idea of modifying your own pedal one way or the other, so up or down gain, is probably quite a common requirement for people. There's like a number of pedals I've bought that I've just been like,
some people like
only
to
had
put,
a bit more.
Some people like to put these little devices in them called potentiometers where you actually can lower and raise the gain just on
you
one
don't
dial.
Say.
Mm-hmm. Yep, some like to do that.
Mm-hmm. In a mod.
Oh, you mean you want to do more than what the gain control does?
Yes, I am aware of how a gain... No, I want more gain at the end of my gain control, Bri, or less gain at the bottom of my gain control. That's what I'm saying. I'm not saying how does this funny round thing on the front of my pedal with numbers work. I just leave it there and it always sounds the same. Oh, what's that? I can turn it to get more sounds. I never realized that, Bri. No, that's not what I'm asking. That would be what in England we refer to as the bleeding obvious, mate.
Okay, so Some circuits,
I mean, I could have told you that, Richard.
Some circuits are not going to allow you to get any more gain as far as what you're calling gain, which is actually clipping.
Oh, now you can first with the insults again.
No, no,
you're actually wrong.
So, well, I mean, because most people, when they say correct, I want more gain, they actually mean more clipping.
Yes, they want to squeeze that signal more.
Gain is the it's the increase of the voltage signal. The voltage right there, and there's a point where you can have like infinite gain, and all you hear is noise, just noise. You have tons of gain, but it's not really what you're wanting. You're wanting more clipping. So there's a point with every circuit. Like, you can only squeeze so much usable clipping out of it before you just gets too noisy.
Yeah. And that's how the fuzz pedal was invented.
But see, though, so the fuzz is a little different now. The fuzz is where you are increasing bass, then clipping it, then taking off some bass after that, usually.
Not in my
Because you want, you want to get that square wave, so you really... To get the square wave, you want as much of that signal as you can, rather than what we do with overdrives and distortions is, let's take off some bass, make it nice and crunchy, then add some bass on after the fact.
Why do you take bass out if you're going to put it back in?
Because how you shape that EQ before you clip it determines whether it's fuzz or distortion.
I got you. You ever shaped an EQ, Richard?
I regularly shape an EQ, mate. Something I do most mornings.
I don't know if this is a euphemism for something.
No, I mean, I just was asking a question.
I'm learning about EQ. Right. See, at the moment, as far as I've got is I can put some capacitors in a circuit and I can put a potentiometer in front or behind of that capacitor and different things will happen. That is my understanding of tone shaping. Although
what I do with an EQ is I look at all of the faders, you know, they're kind of set all, and I make them into a smiley face. And that's how I EQ things, you know. Mm-hmm.
And
just get rid of the mids.
It's not a bad idea, to be fair. That's
exactly why you're not using them.
And then what?
Yeah,
you monster! No, you don't.
Scoop the mids.
No, yeah. No.
Scoop the mids.
No.
Like Karate Kid. Scoop the mids.
But the key is to push up two random frequency ranges for the eyes. So it's a perfect scoop, but there's two little spikes, one really low and one really high.
Yeah, one at 20 hertz and one at 20,000 hertz.
Bri,
just spike those up. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's how it works. This is
what people do. And then they're like, but how come whenever I turn my pedal on, how come I disappear from the mix when I'm with the band? It's like, because a guitar is a mid-focused instrument.
Nobody listens to this podcast with a band. They're all by themselves in their bedroom going,
do they record, though?
If they do, they use my suggested EQ settings.
Oh, no, please don't ever take out the mids.
Take the mids out. You're not using them. You don't need those.
Oh, this is migraine material here. Oh.
Keep going, Blake. This is like watching
stack multiple.
This is like watching that film Hostel. It's like torture porn.
Keep adding big muffs until the only way you can really produce a good record these days is you got to stack 7 to 8 big muffs in a row, and then add the smiley face EQ in post. That's the only way anything good is going to come out of your guitar. and a reverb after that. A nice washy plate reverb. And you'll have such a distinct sound that
this is like, you know what this feels like, Richard? You design a lot of websites for a living. This is like if someone told you that they're going to start their own web design company by using GoDaddy's website builder.
Because that might actually work.
Yeah, there are people who do that. It would be like using ChatGPT. Oh, no, wait a minute. We can't say that because that is what we do now. Who's reading the credits this week? Have we even figured that out yet?
I don't think we actually just talked about this yet because I am creditless still. I gotta log in.
You're still creditless?
I am creditless.
You should talk to your bank.
Oh, you're right. I just looked it up. You've got a 520. That is basically creditless. It's going to be tough to get financing.
It's going to be tough to get you in that car, bub, but I think we can do it right there. We work hard enough.
If we shift the numbers around just right, we might be able to get you into this here Ram 2500 for maybe 36% interest.
Yeah, and you're wanting that warranty on this thing, right? Because that's going to help your credit.
You're going to want that extended warranty. He's been known to have problematic rear ends.
Are we back to talking about cows?
So today we're going to hear from our buddy Joe Rogan. Joe, what do you have to say about our executive producers?
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we've got something special today. We're giving a powerful shout out to our Patreon supporters, the real heroes behind the scenes. Jimmy, can you pull this up? Let's dive into this. First of all, we've got Bill Bays. It's entirely possible this guy's a wizard with his level of support. Justin Burke, man, are you on DMT? Because your generosity is out of this world. David Tendall was coming in strong. Nighthawks, with a name like that, it's like you're straight out of a psychedelic trip. Dave Trombetti, your support is as solid as the best strain of marijuana. That's crazy. Channel Weaver and the band Reduced Rust, you guys are like a finely tuned guitar on the perfect strain. Eric Wilson, bringing the heat. Vidar Frosted, your name sounds like you should be exploring other dimensions, man. Michael Freer, are you free-floating in a sensory deprivation tank? Because your support feels like, it just feels just as awesome as that. John Arbo of Gun Street Wiring, wiring us up for success, brother. Rick Calhoun from Honey Picks, sweet is the finest cannabis, honey. Patrice Fournaise with support that's as mind-bending as a deep conversation about the universe. Dylan Talks Tone, are we talking guitar tones or the tone of the cosmos? Either way, you're in, man. Scientific Uppercut, kidding us with the knowledge bombs, just like those crazy discussions about AI. Kevin Harrington, Barry from Grez Guitars, you guys are like the shamans of the guitar world. And then there's Felicity, who makes those annoying memes. Are you sure you're not using some sort of creative enhancer? Tom Kelly, keeping it real. Jake Young from Man the Helm Podcast, steering this ship through interstellar space. Pigsy, you're mystery wrapped up in an enigma, just like the depths of a good old DMT trip. John O'Neill, Robert Carr, Hunter Hudson, Rob Stokes, you guys are the backbone of this crazy journey through consciousness. Jordan from Poison Noises, are you crafting sounds or crafting experiences? Either way, it's amazing. Nick Spano, the Twain Kings, Sasha Sir, you're like the rhythm section of this cosmic band we're in. Jay Stratton, Seth Williford, Kerry Post, Grumpy Mike, Harvey Petals, Allison Carroll, Patrick Zeller. Each of you is like a unique strain of the best. Mary Jane, marijuana, whatever you want to call it, each with their own special effects. Bumblazer, now that name is as intriguing as one of my podcast episodes. Anthony Stevens, Chris Brown, you guys are the real deal. Philip Carter from 40 Watt Podcast, lighten up our world. Mark Bauman, rounding it off at the strength of a heavyweight champion. You all are the reason this podcast is as mind-bending as a deep conversation about life, the universe, and everything in it. To stay curious, stay elevated, let's keep exploring this wild journey together. Much love and respect to each and every one of you.
If you're lucky enough to have a subscription to the Chasing Tone Patreon page, which oddly enough is patreon.com/chasingtonepodcast, you're in for a treat today because you get a whole nother episode. An entirely different podcast just for you.
And there is some guitar-related content for this one, Bri.
I doubt it.
Thanks for listening to the Chasing Tone Podcast. As always, if you have any comments, questions, or concerns, you can email podcast@wamplerpedals.com and I'll personally get your email. To email Blake, simply email info@tonemob.com, and Richard can be reached at richard@wamplerpedals.com. If you'd like to show your support for the show, the simplest and free way to do that is to share this podcast with a friend, leave a review and a rating wherever you normally get your podcasts. Also, check out Blake's podcast called The Tone Mob. And make sure you check out WamplerPedals.com for blogs, videos, and of course, guitar effects. If you'd like to hear the post-podcast conversations and to get even more content, twice the amount of podcast episodes, simply check out our Patreon at patreon.com/chasingtonepodcast. Thanks for listening. Talk to you next week.